welcome to episode 126 of Yins Are Good, the podcast that shares and celebrates all of the good stuff, the good news that's going on out there. You know, we're celebrating all those good people who are making it happen. I am your host, Tressa Glover. How are you? I am so glad you've joined us today, whatever day today is for you. Thank you for being here. Oh my, I had quite a weekend in the best way. I'm going to tell you about it. Here in the Berg, there were two amazing community-centered events running concurrently, Yinzerfest and the August Wilson birthday celebration block party in the Hill. And I'm so happy to say that we at Yins Are Good were there for both of these events. We were there to meet folks, to hear their stories and what they're grateful for, and to just share time with each other. And much like the interview you're going to hear in this episode, these conversations and meetings just filled my heart. So I want to thank all of those folks who stopped by our tables and offered their stories and listened to ours and laughed and connected. We appreciate and are so grateful for you. Yins are good, indeed. Before we get to our featured guests, a reminder that we want to hear from you. We want to hear more of your stories. We want to hear about acts of kindness that made your day better, that maybe set you on a path to make your life better. Who are you grateful for? Why are you grateful for them? Email us here, yinsaregood@gmail.com. We're going to share those on the show. And now for our main event, we've got three, that's right, three guests coming up for you. There are a few words that have come to my mind when I think about this conversation with these three guests. And for those of you who follow us on social media, you've already seen a photo of us together with some of these words attached: joy, gratitude, hope, laughter, love. And let me say this, by the time our chat was over, well, first, my face literally hurt from smiling and laughing. My heart was bursting at the seams. My soul was refreshed. These women are three of my favorite people on the planet, and that is not an exaggeration. Jordan Corcoran, Taylor Pinkston, and Gab Bonesso, powerhouses, one and all. Longtime listeners may recall that all three have been on the show before, and now all three are going to be part of Camp Lucy, the mental health conference for kids being hosted by nationally recognized public speaker, author, and mental health advocate Jordan Corcoran of Listen Lucy. So you'll remember Jordan from episodes 56 and 105, where we talked about Listen Lucy and Jordan's latest kids book, Little Lucy Bullies. Taylor Pinkston, aka the Heart Advocate. She was my guest way back in episode number 39. She is dedicated to helping folks choose self-love as a coping skill for mental health and healing. She provides a self-love program, workshops, and facilitates presentations on the importance of self-love in mental health, why self-care matters, and creating relationship goals. And Gab Bonesso, an award-winning stand-up comedian, a nationally recognized public speaker, and one half of the Josh and Gab Show, which is what she talked about alongside Josh in our episode 97, coming to you live from Jenny's Ice Cream Shop. What a remarkable group of women. And this interview, this chat, is going to speak for itself, so I'm going to let it do so. I will tell you one note. Although there is no Name That Neighborhood, or in case you missed it in this episode, you will still get a small dose of Don DeJulio. At the very beginning of our interview, he served as our videographer and photographer. So rest assured, he is present in this episode. And now, without further ado, let's get to it. Yes? Let's get to this good stuff. Okay.
John, you nailed that.
Good job,
Don. He's
crushing
it.
Howdy, Don. Thanks, guys.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're ready for it.
What do you mean?
Oh, let's talk Camp Lucy.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, I'm going to throw a question out there, and then we're just going to roll.
Okay.
First, how about if the ends introduce yourselves? Let's start with that.
Okay. Ooh.
We'll go down the line.
Who's going first?
Me? You can go first.
I'm Jordan Corcoran, and I am the founder of Listen Lucy, the mental health organization, and I'm also the founder of Camp Lucy, which is coming up in 13 days when we're recording this.
Yes. 13. So awesome. For those of you listening, her facial expression told that story. 13 days is very soon.
Very soon.
Okay, you are next.
I am Taylor Pinkston. I also go by the Heart Advocate. I'm a self-love social worker and the clinical practice team lead at Healthy Start here in Pittsburgh. I am just so excited to be a part of this day. Camp Lucy's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm Kat Vanesso. I am just, I'm like a registered actual insane person. I'm a comedian. I'm a mental health advocate. I'm one half of the Josh and Gab Show, which is the pro-kindness rock and roll band. And I'm just so grateful to be alive and be a part of Camp Lucy.
Yes. We're grateful too. We're grateful too. Mm-hmm. And listeners, all of these fabulous women have been on the show before. You know that. You may know that. And so this is just a thrill to welcome you. And Taylor, doing it in person.
Yeah.
Because you were way back. You were like.
I know. One of the OGs.
One of the OGs. Yeah. And so now look at us in person. It's amazing.
Yes.
You're kind of an old, you've been on here. You're an old, let me start there. That's
so
great.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
Jeez.
We're getting started.
It's real. It's real. I mean, you know, it's old hat for you. Is that the phrase?
Yes.
It is.
It's not
you've
about
been on
my
here a
age.
Few times. No,
it's
never about your age.
My experience.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
You're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Gab, also, you may remember that live show at Jenny's Ice Cream.
Best day of my life.
And we did, instead of Name That Neighborhood, Name That Jenny's Ice Cream. And they were blindfolded and had to, if they had
That's
to guess
fine.
What the ice cream was made of,
fun.
You know, what would they call it?
Yeah, mine were all terrible. They were just like, good.
I know. And
yum.
And we were like, you're the comedian improv person.
And I was like, that's what I call it. Yum.
Like, I would call it yum.
I would
Great,
call it
okay.
chocolate. Like, I just am it. Not.
Nope. It was the pressure. I mean, I understand that.
And
it
I'm a
pressure.
Literalist, so I really am like, no, it's yum. That's it. Done. Got it. Right. Nailed it. Yeah. Yeah. That's me.
I think the Jenny's people called you after that, like, will you please name our flavors?
They're like, you're really good.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. It was. You were like, I know. So, well, this group is going to, oh my gosh, all going to be together. All going to be together for Camp Lucy. Let's start with the basics. I want to say, what is it? But really what I mean, let's say, what inspired this?
Okay.
Let's go there.
So last year, I celebrated 10 years of Listen Lucy. We are now at 11 years, which is really wonderful. I'm so proud of that. But at that point, I had spent so much time traveling, and everyone here can relate to that, traveling around. I did 40 assemblies last year on top of running a PR firm, and now I have two kids. So I was feeling truly very, very burnt out, and it was affecting my mental health. I think a lot of people forget that I, too, struggle with my mental health, which is what started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to revamp how I did this, and there were a couple things that inspired it. One, I wanted to bring as many districts as I can into one place to hear not just my story, but all of these incredible people that I've met along the way, their stories, and have that impact. The second thing was I wanted it to be free. So I've been doing this a long time, and I know the financial barriers that are set up in some of these school districts that when it comes to bringing in programming like mine, and this was the first time I felt like I could take on a task where I could raise all of this money to make this event for free, from transportation there, transportation home, and everything in between. So it was a huge task to take on, but we have gotten there. I have the best lineup of speakers. These kids are so incredibly lucky, and I know I sound very biased saying that, but knowing what each, I'm not running all the sessions, so I can say that and not sound like a loser, but all of these human beings that I'm bringing in are so impactful and so captivating and so charismatic and have endured these things that are going to leave these kids seeing that whatever life throws at you, if it hasn't thrown anything at you yet, you can endure and you can thrive, and it's all happening here in our city. So that's, I wanted to make my life easier in terms of my mental health and revamp the way I did my business. I wanted it to be free, and I wanted to showcase the incredible human beings that I've been lucky enough to interact with through my tenure of Listen Lucy. Mm.
Mm. Wow.
Is that all? Is that all you
for
wanted to do?
I mean, for this year.
My goodness. Of course she has an actual response to that.
Wow.
So powerful. And I know I do want to talk about that, the importance of it being free.
Yes.
And we can discuss that in a second, if that's okay. But
yeah.
This is, and so speaking of the folks who are speaking. Mm-hmm.
We have four incredible keynotes. We have two of these beautiful human beings with us. So do you guys want to share your sessions and a little bit about them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am doing an affirmation session. And the purpose of that is something that's very true to me, which is negative self-talk. That is something that I think got in the way of my relationship to self-love. Mm-hmm. And so speaking to myself, I believe, was the thing that kind of pushed me closer to a more quality mental health, getting out of my depression, working through anxiety, which is a lifelong journey in itself. But I think that there's so much encouragement that comes from using your own voice and knowing your power. But, you know, we get a little like insecure and ashamed and uncomfortable when we think about like talking to ourselves. And doing it in a open and public space is even more like, ooh, yeah. Okay. So the purpose of the affirmation session is to strengthen self-confidence, self-esteem, obviously with that, self-expression and self-compassion, which are all branches of self-love. There are 10 of them. And so those are 3 of 10. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to just encourage the students with something that I do personally. There are affirmations all over my house, and me and my daughter, I'm constantly like, say I'm powerful, say I'm enough, say I'm good enough, you know, all these things. And I see how much growth comes out of speaking to yourself in a helpful way as opposed to an unhelpful way. Huh.
So I have a couple of things, questions. Mm-hmm. So when you're developing this for kids, mm-hmm. are there some differences between, or what are the differences if maybe when you're dealing with adults or telling?
I want to say the strongest difference with the younger kids, like I would say grade school all the way through high school, is that they still have a lot of that self-worth and confidence and the ability to speak positively about themselves. Whereas if we transfer into like the college and adult, that's when that self-doubt and these things creep in even stronger. And so they tend to know what to say. They
wow.
have the juice. And honestly, I feel like the adults in the room are like learning from their kids and reminded of how impressionable that time is. And the goal is to sustain it lifelong. Like, what if this, you know, confidence and this esteem and expression of self-worth can transfer throughout life through every change. You know, I think that is so powerful. But I would say that that's like the difference I see. But asking them, you know, what they struggle with when it comes to self-talk and inner voice is a common experience throughout the ages. Yeah.
And well, let's get, okay, so Gab, tell us a bit about the same idea here.
My
what your session
it's going to look like, be like.
Your session sounds so cool.
Well, first I want to say, I can't wait to sit through your session. Yeah. And that's a session I needed up until like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I could have used that on my morning
like,
call.
For real.
Like, I am powerful.
My mom needed these sessions. I know every woman in my life. Yeah. And men too. But a lot of times women are so hard on themselves.
We're told not to be.
Yeah.
Right. And even just hearing you describe it, I feel like I learned. I feel like I just had a mini session. Describe it.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
You got it.
You got it.
To add is that these are the bookends of the day. Gab is kicking us off.
Mm. And I'm staying the whole day because I'm not missing your prom.
That's right.
I'm coming.
And I'm doing yoga with Julius. I'm doing it all, baby.
That's right.
You told me to go. All the kids are going to be like, she's still here. That lady's lingering. Yeah, that's me. I'll be the lingering lady of the conference.
That's the goal. We want everybody to stay.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so my session is going to be, well, first I just want to tell you, like, my journey with mental health, truly is an ongoing process, right? And even just this last summer, I got 2 new diagnoses that have actually changed everything for the better. I am in like the best place I've ever been mentally. I was telling you, like a year ago was doing 2 sessions a week. Now I'm going every other week. And I've never, since I was 20 years old, got to go every other week like this. There were times I was doing 5 days a week. So this is just like, I'm in a good spot. So my session is sort of telling my story as quickly as I can, and letting them know like all the things that have worked and haven't worked for me and how advocating for myself and not giving up and trying different doctors and just keep going, the resilience. But a big part of where I am now, what's helping me is really sitting in gratitude. So anytime I start ruminating or having those negative thoughts about myself, I really have to stop and go, okay, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is real? What is a fact? What do I know? And very quickly, like if I'm having anxiety, especially about money, I can stop and be like, okay, but right now, I my heat's on. And right now, I'm safe. And right now, I have this blanket that's keeping me warm. And like the littlest things could just make me feel so grateful to be here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do a songwriting workshop with the kids. And I've already written the hook in my verse, which is gratitude helps your attitude, basically. So I choose gratitude. It always helps my attitude. And I have a verse, which is all about like ruminating and scrolling TikTok and hating myself, but then grounding myself and focusing on like just 3 things that I know, you know, and that helps me. So we're gonna have a big whiteboard and I'm gonna have the kids just spit out ideas and we're gonna write a verse together. That's the original Camp Lucy verse. So that's sort of what we're doing.
I just got chills. Okay.
It sounds so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And you guys should interact.
Am I allowed? You can come. I mean,
you know the person running.
I'll be. I can come in disguise. I'll be like behind a planter.
You look like a kid. They're not gonna know.
I've always loved you, Gab. Listeners, Gab and I have known each other for 20 years.
Yeah.
We've done a couple plays together.
I didn't realize it was that
long. Go ahead and say it. Talk about age.
Yeah,
we were children.
Yeah. The minute you brought it up, I was like, yes, I'll be there. When I knew it was I was like, yes, I will be there.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Wow. This is, I love that interactive and we all can use that. I mean, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Adults would love to sit in on a songwriting. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get the right group who are like, yes, I will sit in and do that a different way. And isn't it, when you're talking about the gratitude, because we do that on the show, ask folks to share or remind folks, like, a gratitude list, however you want to do it. Nothing is too small. There is no such thing. And it's that idea, too. We hear a lot that toxic positivity, right? That's a thing that, where sometimes it's too much. And it's like, when I talk about, what are you grateful for? And share every day, come up with something. It's not like, everything is perfect.
No.
It's not that.
No.
It's, I have heat today.
Yeah.
I have a roof over my head today.
Yeah.
And, you know, this person loves me today or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because those aren't the small things. And those aren't those are whatever the you know, whatever those are for you are big things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that balance. It reminded me of that.
Yeah.
That it's, when we think about gratitude, it's not always like, oh, we're just trying to focus on everything is fine and positive. It's like, no, we got to dig. Sometimes you got to dig to remind yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm finding that really interesting piece right now in my life because I was that young person who sat in my anger and my grief and my trauma. And if someone came along and was like, be grateful, I'd be like, my dad's dead, my mom's dead, what is there to be grateful for? Like, I would just, you know, really flip because I couldn't get to that place then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to have space and grace for the people who can't even see me right now or can't even grasp what I'm saying because I've been there. For sure. I know that. And like, so I really, like, I'm so sad that people are in that right now, but I have hope that they're going to get through it because I did. So I really do think there's still hope for that. But
and that's like a muscle, right? Like it, when you start naming what you're grateful for the first day, it's not going to shift your perspective. But when you like flex that muscle and keep practicing and practicing, it's about shifting perspective. And I think what we can all relate to, the all of us and the other speakers, is that we are continuously enduring our mental health struggles. We are continuously working on this. Isn't something that you get cured from. This is not what the goal is. The goal isn't to not struggle. It's to find ways to endure in a way that doesn't throw you into crisis mode or derail your life. And so many things that we all talk about when we visit kids or whoever our demographic is not just therapy, medication, which works for people and that's wonderful, myself included, but also these day-to-day things that you shift your perspective of that you're already doing. So it's like the gratitude, it's affirmations, it's, you know, for me, it's like waking up and having this routine and making sure that I stick to this routine of like my health, my self-care and exercising and all these different things that like, they're things that we were already taught and done, but now it's part of my day-to-day that shift your perspective and give you that power to realize that you're maintaining your mental health through this. I think that everything that we're talking about is so relatable, but it's done in such a charismatic way that is bringing joy back into it. So when you were saying adults should sit in on this, it's like, when's the last time adults are sitting in a room having fun talking about the things we're grateful for, right? Mm-hmm. We don't get that opportunity or we don't get it or we don't take advantage of the opportunities that we have. So teaching kids now, like I would have benefited so much from a gratitude session and an affirmation session because that's not stuff that was taught to us.
They didn't teach mental health when we were in school.
I was just pulled out of class and put in the room with other kids. No one told me. Mental health gab.
Like rub some dirt on it. Rub some dirt on it. And that's not. Think of these kids when they're our age, how much different their lives and their perspectives will be because they're flexing that muscle at this stage because of these messages that they're giving.
Yes.
Holding space for it.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask all of you. We keep talking about that, of that difference. If you're looking, you know, that idea of your younger self or your earlier self, however you want to think about it. And it's so beautiful that you do this all the time, and all of you do it all the time in myriad ways. But this camp in particular, you're going to these people, these young people, meeting them where you were when you didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And there is no measure for how powerful and life-changing that's going to be. And it's not even going to be in that moment. It's not even going to only be the next day. It's going to be years from now. It's going to be a domino effect of who they're around and how they treat the people around them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank you all for that. And thinking about that with your younger selves and your earlier selves, is that part of when you're putting together any programs that you do, any sessions, especially this one, is that kind of in the back of your head? Do you think a little bit whether or not you realize it? But it might drive what drives the whole darn thing. But what would I want to hear, you know, or what would have been helpful
to begin?
Tune in for part two, three, four, five, six.
Now, I think I address that in my presentations at schools whenever I, at the end, it's kind of how I wrap it up about how I'm trying to be what I needed when I was younger. Yeah. That's the goal. But I think when I started, I can't speak for everybody. When I started, I was like, I know I can do this. I know I have this talent. I know I have this skill set. I know I can impact people. I just want to help people. And I was so focused on how I wanted to help other people that I didn't even take into consideration how every time I present, every time I talk to kids, every time they relate to me, it truly does heal part of me from whenever I was younger. It is, I can't go back and fix what went wrong for me. But I can do this, and to me, it's been such a healing closure part of that chapter of my life that was so incredibly hard. And I think that being able to find, or not even find it, I created this purpose as to what I went through, and now what I'm doing with it, it continuously drives me, for sure. And now that I have my own kids, I mean, game over. I'll do this until I can't. physically speak anymore.
That part.
You know, until my son's like, enough. But for me, it's such a huge driving force. And at the same time, I didn't realize how much good it was going to do for me and my 17, 18-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I've always been helping people through my words, even as, you know, a great school person. And it wasn't until I had my daughter that I really started to pay attention to my words and how much they matter, because I have this little being listening to everything I say. And if I'm body shaming or beauty shaming myself, or if I'm beating myself up when I make a choice that I don't like the outcome, she's listening to all of that. And you just start to reframe, because I don't believe in unlearning, but to reframe how you want to show up. And if I'm using this for a living, and I'm raising a little person using this, I want this to speak life, to speak realistic experience, because we have to hold space for the things that are hard. But I want her to affirm herself and know that what she needs is in here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go out here to get what you need, you know? Mm. So it starts here. It starts here. Can't rewire this, but we can speak this and control what comes out of our mouth. So, yeah, always for the little Taylor in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to meet your grown-up daughter. She's going to be awesome.
Right? If
she's being raised in a self-love household.
I can't, right? Is that my poor mother was always, stupid, calling her names in the mirror, and I'd be like, okay, yeah.
Or, the photos that they put on the magazines to put on, the cabinet.
Yes.
They want.
My grandmother would take a Sharpie and take her face out of every photo. There's no pictures of my grandmother because she hated her face. So that's the kind of ladies I grew up with.
And you learn, I look like these people.
Yeah, totally.
And she's right. Like, hey, that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's why I want to be your daughter.
Again, if I am body or beauty shaming myself, they're learning that I look like her, so I should do the same
thing. I have two kids. My son was first. He's 4. And I was aware, and I'm teaching him breathing techniques and all these things, but I wasn't even truly paying attention to what I was saying until I had my daughter. Because now we weren't, because he doesn't, he already doesn't. He thinks he is the gift.
He is the gift.
By the way. He thinks, when he shows up to a room, he's like, the party can start. Thank you all for being here.
That's how my godson is.
For me. And he's the light of the room. And I love that about him. My daughter also, what a fierce little being. But I really started doing affirmations with her, right? So she'll say to you, if I say, I'm Ruby, she'll say, I'm Ruby, I'm brilliant, right away. That's her first one. Yes, but you really start realizing it, because we weren't, and it's not even holding anything against the generations before us. It's understanding where the world was and what our responsibility is now.
Yes.
That your body is beautiful, that your mind is beautiful, that you deserve to be, you're worthy because you're here.
Yep.
And not that anyone was telling me you aren't worthy, but it was, we could talk about it forever.
The media,
diet culture, what was in
style.
There
was so much messaging.
And the shift of equality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The shift of valuing us a little bit more, and making sure that we're teaching our daughters and our boys the same thing, that you matter because you're here.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's bare minimum. You deserve to love yourself and love your life because you were here. And how can we help support that? Mm. And that wasn't the message when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it shows.
But look at us.
Yeah, look at us now.
Right?
Look at us.
That's right.
Look at us.
That's what. And this show. Because. Because this is exactly. There's so many times, and the three of you have already been this on the show, and you're just doing it again. But it is. It's that idea of everything that your life has been, and all of the things. Mm-hmm. It would have been enough for you yourselves to find your way as you have and continue to find your way. And the three of you are examples of doing that and then saying, wait a minute, I'm going to turn around and help the others who I know are feeling it,
are going through similar things. Like, I want to use this to help. And that is such a gift that you are all gifts. And for doing that. And these young people. Okay. No. May I ask? Let's get a few particulars.
Hit me with it.
Woo!
Hopefully I have an answer.
No, I was going to say, well, this will be good. What if I stump them?
Okay. Oh, God.
So,
13 days.
Embarrassing. Okay. As far as the ages that we're talking about, and maybe now we're talking a little bit about why is it so important that it's free.
Okay, so the ages are, we're gearing our messaging for 5th through 8th graders. The reason that I chose middle school for this year and for this conference is that I have spent so much time in schools, and I've noticed, you guys if contradict me if you have different experiences, but the high school kids, they are starting to shut down a little bit, right? So I do question and answer sessions after all of my talks, and in middle school, I mean, I have to cut them off because I would stay all day. But the teachers are like, it's time to wrap it up. You know, they're like, my cousin did this. What's your favorite color? And what dosage medication are you on? You're like, whoa, this is so funny and exciting. But the high school kids, they line up to talk to me after. Right? Like, they don't raise their hand a lot. They want to talk to me one-on-one. They don't want their peers to hear what they're saying. So my thought process was, if we can get to them now, in middle school, when they make that transition, when society starts to pressure them, when their peers start to pressure them, they have these coping techniques. We've taught them about affirmations. We taught them about resilience. They have seen success stories in their town and what things look like, so that when they become these high schoolers, hopefully we've impacted them enough to not have them shut down and not be ashamed of their adversity. The other thing that I added to the conference is that the panel discussion right before lunch is a panel of high school students that are and they're male high school athletes that my dad works with on a leadership council, and they're going to be talking about emotions and love and mental health and these men of character that they've been working on for 4 years. They meet at my parents' house every other week, and I've watched them grow into these like incredible young people. But how great for them to hear it from us, to see it from us, but then see someone that they really could be, that stereotypically, right, these big athletes don't speak about things, and it's not okay for men to share their emotions and all of these things, for them to sit on this panel of all different walks of life and share that, hopefully will then solidify that message that in a few short years, you're going to be them, and this is how they're acting. And then after that, you become adults, and this is how we're acting. So hopefully we can get to them when they're impressionable and open enough to have so much fun doing it, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's so good, Jordan.
It's so, I know.
Yeah, that's so good.
Thanks, guys.
It's all the thing. It's just like, okay, that's, it covers.
Yeah, it's we're trying.
It is, it's so smart, that age. And you can feel it. Like when as I'm thinking about it now, looking back, you feel when that starts to happen. Mm-hmm. When you go from, and even imagination and, right, all of that we, you know, and when it just starts to turn and when we become more private and become more self-aware and self-conscious and all of those things. And then it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. Rarely can you turn it back without help.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah. And so let's talk about the fact that these kids are going for free.
Okay.
Again, let's
chew it in. I will say that raising this money has been one of the hardest professional challenges of my life. And I am so incredibly proud to... I set the goal of $35,000. We are at $45,000. And that has been, like, I don't get emotional. I'm a very emotional person, but I don't get emotional about work a lot. I feel like I've hardened over the years in a good way. Like, at the beginning of Listen, Lucy, it was like everything consumed me. How am I going to be able to do this? I can't hear these stories. It's so heartbreaking. And now it's like I have the experience to handle a lot. But when I got the call that we got the additional $15,000 grant that kicked us over the $35,000, I, like, truly, like, wept in my office. Like, I couldn't believe that this had happened in such a short amount of time. And not only was it this accomplishment for me that I'm very proud of, but it was this relief that there is not a school district in this city that if they want to attend, they can attend. Mm. And I could talk forever about how financial restrictions keep people from life-saving resources, and we can all go into that. We all have experience with that. But we're in the midst of a mental health crisis, and there aren't enough therapists, there aren't beds, there's so many things that aren't possible. So then when a school wants to bring in a speaker, we have to make a living too, right? We have to be able to provide, this is our job. We have families to pay for, we have houses to pay for, we have all of these things that we're trying to do. We have mental health support that we need to pay for. You know, these things don't come for free for us, but I know that there are schools that this just isn't in the cards for them. And then the other part was headlines are starting to mislead people that there's a $100 million grant that is going to schools for mental health resources. And there's confusion on what that actually translates to because, and if I'm talking too much, tell me to zip it, but there's a $100 million grant out there, but the school districts that have the ability to have the people to apply for grants, I apply for grants. It's incredibly time consuming, and I'm a small business. It's very hard for me to do that. It's one of the reasons why it was this huge challenge. So school districts that have all of these additional resources are the people that have the ability to apply for grants. School districts where the vice principal is also the gym teacher and that there isn't funding for transportation for those kids, they don't have somebody to apply for those grants. So that money sounds amazing, but no one's able to access that. There's confusion in that. When that headline came out about that money, it's very exciting if you have the ability, but we're not leveling the playing field the way that we need to. So the schools, and I don't want to call out school districts because that's not the point. The point is nobody should have to pay. So for example, there's a school that I was working with years ago that they couldn't, even the schools that have the funding, they'll bring me in and then we have to get board approval for that funding. Right. So if you have a board of people that 50-50, some believe in my message, some don't, the kids don't get it. Or it takes a year. It took a year for one school to be able to bring me in. So now we missed all these kids. When I went back to that same school and said, I'll just do it for free, by the end of the month, I was in there and had so many incredible conversations. So I wanted to make it accessible to everybody and logistically as easy as possible. Our schools go through so much, so let's just take on the burden for them. Like, we do the transportation, we provide the food, you get to come, I'll find money to pay our speakers. I don't want anyone donating their time either. Like, this is the way that we do it so that we can eliminate it and impact as many schools as possible. Aren't you glad you asked?
I dozed off, actually.
So what she said
was... Yes. for me, just like in like 20 words or less. When you were talking about the 100 million, I had no idea.
It's incredibly difficult to apply for grants. Like, I'm not exaggerating. One of the grants that I applied for took me 8 hours to... It took a whole day of work, and luckily, I had people to support what we needed. And it took 8 hours to do, and then it's so incredibly competitive, as it should be. There are so many beautiful organizations in our city that are doing such important work for different causes. It's not even that. But I think people don't understand what it takes. So then you could spend all that time and not get that money. And then you don't know. And it's going to another cause that's just as important, just as imperative. But people don't understand what that money means and how it still doesn't put us all on the same playing field. Right. So, not at Listen Lucy.
Right. That's right. And to be part, you know, and thinking about this, and maybe Gab, we can start with you with this, but when you go in as Josh and Gab, who is awesome, even if you could tell us a little bit about the ages that you tend to interact with.
With Josh and Gab.
Yeah, with Josh and Gab. And what are some things maybe that have surprised you that you've learned or in these interactions with these kids of that age? And, you know, and even,
I mean, so Josh and I, we perform from pre-K to AARP. That's what we always say. We have done AARP. We really have. So we went where there was a woman at AARP who was bullying everyone, and we went and did a presentation. The woman who was bullying everyone was my great aunt Jean. So, so I had to then be like, so elephant in the room, I'm related to the bully. She's just very bright and angry at those who aren't. That's Jean. So yeah, we
that's Jean.
And we go everywhere. Like, we have been. And so Josh and I, we don't rely on grants at all. We are literally like, he's a rock and roller, I'm a comedian. We're like, do you want to start a business? And so we literally get paid on cupcake funds. So like, what you have is what we're going to get. And that's how that rolls. And we have been to like evangelical schools, like true
holy. Like where there's a picture of Jesus and a dinosaur on a mural. And I've been like, what can I talk about with the kids? They're like, the only thing don't talk about is evolution. I'm like, don't worry, it doesn't come up. It's fine. I won't bring it up. But like when I say to those kids, like, what will we do if someone is being mean or being cruel? A kindergartner will shoot their hand up and go, oh, I pray for them. You know, like something so kind, right? Oh, and you're just like, oh my gosh, sweet. How sweet. Yeah. But then, you know, you have these other kids who are like, psh, if I would never hit a bully with my car. Like literally, and I'm like, whoa, why did you say it like that? Like you're seven. You don't what you mean like the car that with batteries? Like it's just so yeah, I mean kids say the darndest stuff, but yeah, we mostly focus on kindness, and that's what just generally just how sweet the kids are. Like one of my I do a big story about being the one kid in my first grade class to not get a glue stick. It really did mess me up. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, no kid stood up for me. And so from that point on, I didn't think any kid in my class was my friend. I isolated. Like, if a kid was like, oh, you want a piece of gum? I'd be like, no. Because I think if I took it, you'd take it right back from me. Like, I shut down for years in school because of this one incident. Wow. So I tell it as a really funny story to kids, you know, imitate my mom as a dinosaur and do all these voices. And we have a song about it. And that's the one song we ask all the kids to get up and dance on, right? And we're going to talk about healing your inner child. When I have every kid in the room doing the glue stick dance with me, and we're all doing the running man and waving our imaginary glue stick, like, my inner child gets healed. I mean, it is healed every time I do it, Josh and Gav show. Like, sometimes I feel guilty taking their cupcake fund money because I'm like, I get paid just in the energy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just the most wonderful. Oh, and to the question of, like, inner child, I think it's very clear my inner child is the lead in my life, right? Like, I'm one of those adults who didn't do the thing where, like, I have the adult brain yet. Like, kids don't know my godson's like, Aunt Gabby, when you grow up, I'm like, what the heck? So, like, people don't know, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
I completely agree.
That's the, I will say my nephew and my godson told me that you came to his school and it was the best assembly he's ever had. Yes, and he is a tough crowd.
Holy cow.
He is. What school? I know. Hampton Poff Elementary.
I love Poff. Yeah, I know my Hampton kids.
School.
All the schools are amazing. I've not been to a school where I'm like, I love you guys. Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Truly. You're impacting them, that's for sure.
I love that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And you mentioned this earlier, Taylor, and I had wanted to ask about it, that as far as the adults learning from the kids, maybe this way, things that you've learned along the way from the kids that you've already talked to, and connecting that to what you think will probably happen at Camp Lucy, but that, you know, that it's not one-sided, it's not one-directional, it's not, these kids are here to learn from me, and that is all that's going to happen, right? We've already talked about, like you said, your inner child or still going child.
Yes, still going adulthood. Child.
But, you know, already we've talked about yourselves that is healing and learning is happening. But just as that maybe the adult side of you and what you get, that reciprocity.
Mm. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I always get from working with
the mess. Like when you... Like, it is very cool to be excited about things.
Yes.
It is very cool to see the magic in things. It's very cool to participate in a songwriting session or at self-effort. It's cool to do those things. Like, it's very cool to love yourself and to say these things, and they rattle it off.
Kids know
when
you're
like, what do you like about yourself? They're like, I'm the best looking kid. I'm very smart. And you're like, oh my.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
All true.
You told me I wasn't.
Yes.
I think
and
that's,
hold on to them.
That's right.
You get to high school.
It's like, it's refreshing to be around. I also think that there's all this talk. Like, we are getting to the point in our lives, unfortunately, where you're like, these kids. And, you know, they, all of the negatives. When you, those people that say those things don't do what we do. Because what I see in these kids, like, I see so much hope for us. Mm-hmm. I see so much strength in us. I see so much power and refusal to accept things that aren't right in our society. Yeah. To be, like, so confident to go against the grain. And they have their adversity just like every generation does. But I am so impressed by what I see and who I encounter through Liz and Lucy. I don't fear the future for us at all. And I think the people that are saying those things, it could do them some good to, like, spend the day with us and see what these kids have to say, because they have so many important things to say. Mm-hmm. They are going through so much with their heads held high. They have endured more than I have, right? Like, they went... I mean, I could go off on a tangent on what they endured during the pandemic, when the adults that they're looking through are also going through the pandemic and don't know what they're doing and how that's impacted their development, and are showing up. And I just, my message to other adults too, which is not what you asked me, but
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off. That was not the question.
But, like, listen to them. Take them seriously. Yes. When they speak up, validate what they're saying. When they're telling you they have a problem, don't diminish it. Let them, because what's big to them is big to them. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. Value what their input is. Value what they're saying. Like, tell them how cool it is that they're participating in things. If it's not what you were doing when you were younger, don't dismiss it.
Yeah.
Like, lean in. And I think they lean in, and we are, this isn't what it's, how it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've learned way more
constantly
than I've taught.
Learning.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I really think, too, with kids, one thing that I kept hearing post-pandemic and getting back into the schools was, like, you know, we can't control them. They're all wild. They're all this. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you be if you were trapped in a house and you were a kid? Like, I know I'm all wild and young now. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, grown-ups literally forget what it's like to be a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was a giant eagle, and a mom's like, ugh, why do you need dino nuggets? Why can't they just be regular nuggets? I'm like, wow, are you that old lady? Because they're dinosaurs. I'm like, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just felt the need to weigh in on this situation. But no one gives kids grace for being kids and going through trauma. And it's
any,
like,
group of kids should get, like, universal grace. It's like these pandemic.
The pandemic.
Yes. Like, give them a minute.
Yeah.
You know, every school, when the schools finally opened up, I was traveling around, and Sarah Berry, who travels with me, we were cracking up because every high school we went into across the country were, like, the ninth graders.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, ninth grade was getting such a bad rap. I'm like,
they were probably the
pandemic's
most interactive.
Interactive.
Engaged.
Very funny. And, like, I didn't have one issue at
high
school, right. Knock on wood. But I didn't have one issue. But I was saying to the principals, when the world shut down, they were in sixth grade. So now they're in ninth grade, and you're expecting them to act like ninth graders that had all of these social interactions, and they didn't have anything. So what do you expect for them? And that has to be very hard to deal with on the day-to-day and, like, figuring it out. But also, while it's hard for you, think about how hard it is for them to understand, like, what happened.
What happened?
Think about the different phases we went through as adults during the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, it all started out so happy and neighborly, and we were waving, and then... It did not stay that way.
No.
It became
like
everyone
was fun.
Dark.
It was almost fun. It was like,
I didn't have that fun part.
Yeah.
But the trauma kicked in. I'm like, oh, I'm good at trauma, so I got this. I'm going to be the best at COVID. I literally went online and was like, I'm going to be the best. I won COVID.
I won.
And then I cracked and didn't win. But I did because I found my therapist, so I'm with it. I did win, guys.
Yeah,
We're watching these young babies collectively grieve while their parents and their community, their teachers, their advisors are also grieving.
Yep.
This was a difficult, we lost time. You know,
our daily
routines, our schedules, what was consistent, and we know how kids thrive on consistency, and now we are stripping their day-to-day from them, and they have to be in the same four walls all the time. It's just so great to be back in an in-person space, and Camp Lucy is just going to be able to bring so much of the goodness of being back in person, but to, like, be so close, to have those connections, and to be spreading such joy. The day is going to be filled with joy.
It's such a great point. For these kids, for so many of them, this something like Camp Lucy is still new. Newer, even.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because and it is joyful. What a great word for it.
Joy, joy, joy.
Oh, my gosh. This is joyful. I'm having a ball. No one's leaving. We're going to do a real camp. We're doing a camp right here.
Camp Tressie.
Camp Tressie.
So fun.
Oh, my gosh. Hey.
You can just use my outline.
Okay.
Just take it and make it your own.
Yes. I'll fill it in. Well, anything else you want to say before we conclude this? I don't want to conclude it, but...
Oh, I know.
I'm just grateful to be a part. I mean, Jordan, you're great at bringing folks together, but the lineup that you've picked, you know, with Julia's boat ride.
Right.
And
I was going to say, can we mention like who else is?
Yeah, you know, I'm Team Julius.
Yeah, same here. He's my hero.
You hand selected us, but like, I know you're just like a dub, but like, still, it's just such an honor to be selected, to be a part.
Yes.
You know, I believe in the work that I do, but knowing that others value it and see how important self-love is for our babies, for these teens and adolescents, like, yeah, of course I'm coming.
I'm going to take the compliment.
Yeah, just take it. Don't you dare.
Yeah, that's it.
You take it.
Well, I wasn't doing this without you. Mm. I wasn't doing this without you. That's for sure. Julius is doing an amazing session. Julius felt right. It was a no-brainer. There was no way.
Yeah.
This lineup is incredible. And Julius is doing a session. His whole session is going to be a yoga class, too. And
I can't wait.
Big shout out to Dick's because they gave us 200 yoga mats for the kids to take home, which just makes me feel so happy thinking about them rolling up their yoga mat and walking out with it and having a coping technique in their hands. Like, it's so cool.
Literally walking out the door with it. Like, yeah, they have
wild.
It.
Oh, there's a
they're
lot
literally
of
bringing
swag.
Home.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
We're giving
there's
them
a
stuff.
Lot of swag.
Oh,
we
love it.
That's just, and then my family got involved. So now
there's
Steeler jerseys. I don't know. I'm going to believe in pirate stuff, bracelets, and yoga.
Yes.
And then Julia Broglie, who created the Broglie belt. She's married. Well, I was saying Julia Broglie for so long, and I forgot that she got married like a real turd. But anyway, she is the co-founder of the Broglie Box, which does hand-picked mental health coping techniques in a gift box that you can ship to anybody.
She's been on the show, listeners.
She sure has.
Again,
she is
another
one.
She was back in the day.
Yeah,
she's a dream team.
I know.
Yeah.
She is such a dream human being. And there, she's playing off like the Taylor Swift fandom right now, and the kids are going to, it's called Finding Your North Star, her session, and they're going to answer all these questions and pick a word to dedicate for the rest of the year and then make a friendship bracelet. To go home
cool.
with it. Very
so I'm getting a friendship bracelet,
too.
A yoga mat.
This is amazing.
I'm writing a song. Boom.
Don't forget about the jerseys.
Yes,
this is an opportunity for jerseys.
Affirmations. This is a
full
day. I have no doubt.
So those sessions are just, my God, they're going to, I have been so stressed about the logistics of it all and the fundraising, and my head's been like down, making sure that this is free and the transportation and all of these different things. And then I went and had session like meetings with each individual speaker. When I got off, I came out of my office and was saying to my team, like, I forgot how special this is going to be. That special. Like, we get to do this, and this is what we do all the time, but now we all get to be together. And one thing I'll say about all of the mental health advocates and activists that I work with, we all could look at each other as competition. And that has never, ever been the experience. It is always collaboration over competition. And it's very, we all can make our impact on our own, but whenever we get to join together like this, you don't know who's going to connect with whose story, and we support each other so much and refer each other so much and share our stuff so much. And that's such an incredible industry to be a part of. So while
so important, thank you all, because that is so important. Keep going.
No,
I had to get that out there.
Like, she's basically the Captain America of our event.
Thank you for summing it up.
I just needed you to understand it.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all. That's all you got.
Captain America signing off.
Signing off.
Oh my gosh!
So good.
You're the best.
You're
the best.
I need to go to the session.
You don't affirmation,
I cannot thank you all.
Thank you.
Enough. Seriously, so
Lay
so much love. Okay, please. I want to do, we got to do this again, Sandy, for any reason.
Whatever.
Anytime.
But thank you for everything each of you do.
Yeah.
I do. Thank
right
you.
I got you. Thank you for helping us spread that message.
Anytime.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then I love this group of people. Can we? How lucky are these Camp Lucy kids going to be, I ask you? Thank you so much, Jordan Corcoran, Taylor Heart Advocate Pinkston, and Gab Bonesso, for the honest, insightful, hopeful conversation. And thank you for all that you're doing. You are each truly a gift. Listeners, please do be sure to check out our show notes for all of the info about Camp Lucy and also about Listen Lucy, the Heart Advocate, and the Josh and Gab show, as well as other projects that these women are working on. And listeners, thank you again for being here today. Thank you for listening. And I wish you a happy and healthy week ahead. And until next time, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks to Brianna Horan, Don DiGiulio, and as always, for our fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.